Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. And I'm going to talk about mail today, as usual. And especially, I want to talk about why mail, and especially direct mail, is the best way to save the USPS. It's mail, and it's so much more. I announced that we're going to have a little event next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Chicago time. I have a post, and it's on WDMA LinkedIn page. It's on the WDMA website, although I had some problems with my computers yesterday, so it may not be there yet, but it will be there. And or you can write me, John, at WDMA.org, and we'll get you there. And I announced it as a discussion on how to save the postal service. And I got a couple of replies. And so I've spent some time thinking about it. And we're gonna give you a little bit of a run today at why mail is so special and so unique. One person wrote me and said, we need a new postmaster general. And I understand that he gave a rousing speech at the National Catalogs Mailers Association. I hope I could get the transcript of that. But apparently, he wasn't too positive on direct mail. He said the Postal Service, you know, we're losing first class and we're losing direct mail, and so we're focusing on packages. That's what I got third hand, and I don't know if it's true, but we'll try to find out. But I wrote back and I said, it's not just a new postmaster. You know, you can't put new wine in old wineskins, as it says. But we need some new vision. We need someone who understands how unique and fantastic mail can be. And I don't think anyone at the Postal Service understands that at all. I have yet to meet someone who I think does. And their direction for the last, I would say, 30, 40 years suggests that no. And I have quite a history. My dad was a catalog guy. He started buying through direct mail in the 40s, and we were raised with catalogs. Our mailbox was about half a mile, three quarters of a mile from our house, and when we got the mail, it was an event. And we loved direct mail, Sunset House and Sears catalog and Penny's and all the rest. So I was raised that way. And when I landed in direct mail marketing, I remember my first association meeting, the Direct Mail Marketers Association, which then got rid of mail and got rid of marketing and changed to data and marketing, and then basically went under. They didn't understand mail either. But in the 90s, I was hired by USPS to train their salespeople on how direct mail could help large advertisers. And it was very successful, I would say. And we got about 30 companies, I remember. Some I remember. I still have some of the reports here. Panasonic, Circuit City, Anheuser-Busch, Kaiser Permanente, and there were many others that I remember. But the problem was that we told these mailers that they should try mail, and they did. But without the context of how the scientific method and direct mail marketing can be validated, they tried a little mail and then they went on to something else, which is really the norm. And so in a sense, we vaccinated everybody. But not to give up, I proposed to USPS that we create a model like Royal Mail in the UK, Derek Holder, and actually got a contract approved. I think the budget was $600,000 to build a best practices direct mail marketing network that big companies could plug into and be sure that they were doing it well. It's not enough to just find a printer and say we're gonna try it, and it's even more so today. But then the Inquisitor General or something like that, the Inspector General, decided that anybody that had a contract with the Postal Service was somehow criminal, and all the contracts are canceled. I had my contract for about a week. That's just enough time to say I did it. But that concept is still valid today. And so I'm going to talk today about how special mail is, and maybe I'll do another show over the weekend while I'm sitting around and explain how this could work. Or maybe we'll talk about it in the WDMA winter welcome get together. 3 p.m. Chicago time, Tuesday. The links are available. Write to me, john@wdma.org. Okay, so let's take off and look at this. How to save USPS. It's mail and so much more. Okay. One of the times I gave another speech for the USPS to help motivate their sales force, I got a standing ovation. Imagine 300 male USPS employees giving a standing ovation to a speaker. After the talk, somebody came up to me and said, a week's worth of sessions, and you're the first person who talked positively about mail. They said, we even had our ad agency, the president of our ad agency that does the advertising for USPS, and she said, I don't know why we're here. We don't ever do mail. None of our clients do mail. Another person walked up to me and said, you know, I talked to my wife last night, and I said, I'm quitting. I'm resigning. I don't have a thing to say, maybe because of the motivating sessions that they had for the sales force. Said, I don't have a thing to say to millennials who are ad managers or brand managers at big companies. I walk in and they say, you know, who needs mail, right? And he said, after your talk, I know that I have something to say to these brand managers. I have something to say on why mail is special, okay? But right in the context of that was about 2018, I did that talk, and I was telling a friend, and he said, why don't we just abolish USPS? He was a friend from church, so, you know, who cares? But, well, actually, he was also running for governor of the state of Wisconsin. Now, he didn't win. You know, he ran for senator this last election, but he got 42,000 votes. How many of you have gotten 42,000 votes, right? So this sentiment is pervasive, and I think it's pervasive in the USPS. Imagine that. So let's talk more. Okay. Why mail fixes USPS? Well, first of all, there's greater variable demand. If you can get big advertisers to utilize mail, they can put millions and millions and millions of, you know, a big advertiser might mail 40, well, Quill used to mail 40 million big, thick catalogs a year. I don't know what they're mailing now, right? But that's business to business. In consumer, yeah, you can mail 100 million pieces, right? I know one printer that prints about 2 billion pieces a year. The deficit was about $10 billion. You know, all you need is 100 big advertisers to do some real mail. And you're on track for changing the financial profile of USPS. If we just go back to 2007 mailing levels for direct mail, you'd be making a big dent. Okay, so there's greater variable demand. You're not going to convince the average, you know, the average grandmother to send more greeting cards. She's doing the best she can. But direct mail can actually improve the mail profile, the financial look. USPS sales are B2B. The people they should be talking to are businesses that could mail more, that could benefit from mail. And the mailers actually work with USPS to make the mail easier to deliver. So it's the best possible kind of mail that they can handle. And it's better than parcels because it's not, you know, one, my postman, who's now retired, said, you know, he got to try one of these little, the little vans now. And he said, yeah, but you can't deliver parcels. It doesn't hold enough for my route. Okay. So also mail has unique properties, and it solves both attribution issues and AI. And that's magical. That's what big companies are looking for. Okay, what the CEO wants? I know when I was at a regular general ad agency, they'd trot out the mail guy when we were doing pitches. And we won 5 out of 5 in about 2 years, which is like, you know, winning the Super Bowl 5 years in a row. Nobody does it. Okay? We landed 5 clients, and every one of them said, I like the idea of accountable advertising. Direct mail delivers accountability in a way that no other advertising medium does. I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody. You know, I walked away from Blockbuster. I told them it's not going to work for you. And they did it anyway. And it didn't work. And they said, you're an odd guy who'd walk away from 6 figures of consulting revenue just because you didn't think it would work. I said, I did not think it would work. I understand the numbers. You said you couldn't change the numbers. I said, it's not going to work. Okay. So we know how to measure the customer results. We know how to generate return on investment down to EBITDA type levels. And mail is some of the most scalable media. And you know it's getting delivered. And that's what CEOs want. They want to be able to put in a dollar and out jumps $2 or $3 or $10. And we have a case study like that. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Okay, and this was a graph I found in an article which says, what's the importance of measuring marketing attribution? Very important. 81% said attribution, and the rest said somewhat important. Only 3% said not important. That is what mail uniquely delivers. It also is really the only good way to train artificial intelligence. When I gave that talk in 2018, right around there, I think it was Gartner Group or Forrester, I forget, had a bunch of statements about 87% of AI projects fail. They never, it's Gartner, I see it down here. It is down here, right around then. And I thought, well, why is it that I've been able to do, and I pioneered machine learning with statistical modeling in the mid-90s. So almost 30 years. Yeah, we started in 84 or 94. So 30 years ago, I've been doing modeling and slinging around data. And I thought, well, how come I can make millions of dollars for my clients and other companies aren't able to do it? And I thought about it for about 3 years. It was about 2021 or 22 before I actually nailed down why mail is unique. See, machine learning, there's some challenges. The computer sees patterns, okay? And the problem is that the more data you have, bigger data, gets you more spurious correlations. And I've talked with Eric Siegel about it and other professors at universities about how big data does not solve it. More data does not solve it. More testing does not necessarily solve it. You need a labeled data set. What does that mean? What the heck does that mean? And how does this relate to mail? Well, first, here's a beautiful correlation of deaths caused by X-ray contrast media correlated with bicyclists killed in collisions with 2 or 3-wheeled motor vehicles. It's just beautiful. I think the p-value is there or whatever. The correlation is there. And this site, if you want to have some fun, you can correlate anything to anything, and it just shows you it's great. Anyway, what does that mean? Okay, Dr. Data. I think that's Eric Siegel. And so AI is requires this labeled data set. So when Jeopardy wanted to teach Watson, here's Watson here, sitting here, to play Jeopardy, and look, he crushed these guys. They had 127,000 old Jeopardy questions from 30 years of Jeopardy. And I remember playing it in high school. And that was what enabled them to train Watson. So they could see when Watson got stuff right, they would tweak the algorithm and see if he got more right or less right, and then run it again, and they could iterate. And that's what machine learning really is. Okay. Yesterday I talked about how if you give AI pictures of dogs, it will repeatedly scan the pictures of dogs and find common characteristics. That's what we're trying to do in marketing. We're trying to see what the good customers look like. Excuse me. Okay. But the problem is that AI, if left on its own, will start ignoring the outliers, start ignoring and finding the most common dogs. It will end up showing you golden retrievers, if you say make a picture of a dog, that's what it'll come up with. Now, if you let it train on what it comes up with, it will eventually get nonsensical, won't even work at all, because it doesn't know what a dog is. An 18-month-old baby will point to a dog and say dog, doggy, and cat, and will know the difference. AI is not as smart as an 18-year-old baby, okay? So you've probably seen stuff like this, CAPTCHA, okay? Select squares with traffic lights. I took this off of screen capture from my phone, okay? Why does it ask this? Because here's a traffic light that looks like a light. Here's another one. There's one over here. It's got lights on it. But these are also traffic lights. And AI will tend to ignore those because they don't look like a traffic light. They're facing the wrong direction, right? And the problem is, if you're on like a motorcycle that's self-driving, that would be something. Behind this little box truck, you'll see these, AI will see these, but not necessarily know they're traffic lights. They'll see, and they may not see these if you tuck up behind that box truck. You see that? And that is why we have humans that do the captures. Okay, humans, traffic light, traffic light, traffic light. Okay, truck, truck, car, truck, truck. Ever done that? The humans have the ability to recognize the categories. AI doesn't. Okay? So AI requires a data set. For AI to work in marketing, we need a labeled data set to train on. But what do we need? Just like Jeopardy, we need not only the customer data, but who saw the ad and engaged with it. Okay? And direct mail has an incredible advantage. If you put up a billboard on a freeway, right, and you've probably seen billboards, does the advertiser know who saw the billboard? No. And even if they did, even if they scanned all the license plates and knew all of the cars going by, they still wouldn't know who's watching the road or the car in front of them versus who's watching the billboard. And it's like that. You say, well, with cable, we can know the household that's seeing the ad because we know that their TV's on and we know. Yeah, but you don't know if they're getting a sandwich or doing other business. You don't know if they're paying any attention. In fact, now the way I watch most things, if I'm watching network television, if I'm watching the Packer game, I'm watching YouTube on my phone and turn off the sound on the game. And if something happens, I turn the sound back up and watch the replays. I have no interest in your commercial, right? And that's the main thing about basically all media. If you can ignore the media in any way, shape, or form, it throws itself away. But mail does not throw itself away, right? And here's what we know, and it's unique to mail. We know who we mailed. We have a mailing list of who was going to get mailed. Okay? And we know it was delivered because the post office not only delivers it, but will give you tracking information on when it gets to that house that day. So you can email. It's called informed visibility. Got to get this right. Okay? You, as a mailer, you can know when that's going to which households. Imagine that. Okay? But not only that, we know it went to a decision maker. How do you know that? Well, you know, we had 4 kids. Did we let them go pick up the mail? No. Did we let them decide what to keep and what to throw away? No. They don't understand if you got a letter from the IRS that that's important. They don't know that. It has to go to a decision maker, right? And usually, probably, it's the same person that's spending the money. Amazing, right? Okay, not only that, but like I said, mail does not throw itself away. It requires engagement from that decision maker. You have both visual inspection and tactile. Okay, a catalog has weight. It gives credibility to a retailer when it's not just a postcard. There's more credibility. There's more credibility in the kind of paper you use or you don't use. You can test and study all kinds of factors, right? Okay, so it's tactile and visual, which forces a decision. You're either going to buy, you're going to save it, set it aside for later, or you're going to toss it. But all of those are decisions. No other media does that. You can ignore them, and they throw themselves away. And so what we end up with at the end is we end up knowing who bought, and even more importantly, because almost everybody knows who bought, you know, where it shipped to their house, right? We also know who engaged, who looked at our advertising and said, that's not for me right now. We know the engaged non-buyer. Find another medium that knows the engaged non-buyer with that level of precision. There isn't one. Mail is unique and solves the main problem of AI. If this were the only slide you remember, this is the slide to remember. Okay, mail is unique. Okay, I learned about this from a musician's friend. They said, you know, we would mail about a 500,000 a month, I think. Maybe it was more. And we did their modeling for about 6 years. We beat 8 different modeling companies around the world. We ran 11 different head-to-head tests on our modeling methodology. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to do that. But they were owned by a venture company or an investment bankers in Dubai who said, what's all this catalog stuff? You know, they spent, I don't remember, $10 million a year on catalogs or something, but it was a $500 million company. So, you know, it was working well. And so usually every spring, we would do a holdout test, no mail versus mail, okay? And what we always found was that the people who got mailed on a dollar per dollar catalog, dollar per customer, profit per customer, would always do significantly better, like double the revenue. Double the profitability, 3 months, 1 month, didn't matter. Mail always won. It always gave us about a 300% return on investment. Okay, yeah, we did. Oh, I said 6. I don't know. It was a 6 or 8 or whatever. But it was a lot of tests. Musician's friend was into testing, and they knew what they were doing. Okay, except when they got rid of us, they had a back test. We can talk about that someday if you want to know. So mail does not throw itself away, and that is unique. All other media does. Even the yard signs. People put yard signs. My road is at the end of a pretty good-sized road, my yard, and people put up yard signs. And if you leave them there, the county comes and mows that strip of land. and they get munched up. Okay, so mail has unique attribution, but also unique engagement. We all know that, right? Your brain has 10 times more touch than vision processing, so it gets in your head. It makes it more tangible. You know, there, and there's a psychological process that if you engage with something, you have a tendency to see yourself in that with that product, and that helps you to buy. So in the 80s, only about 50% of households had credit cards when I got started, and only about 50% did remote buying. So we couldn't use just, you know, general lists of households. We couldn't use demographic lists. They didn't work at all because half the people in America just threw their mail away without looking at it because they weren't going to buy remotely. Now nearly 100% of households buy something remotely. The mailbox is less full. Readership of mail is up. Royal Mail has done tons of studies on that. This should be the golden age of direct mail. Better even than the 80s, which everybody thought was it. Royal Mail, this is from Royal Mail, 87% of people were influenced to make an online purchase as a direct result of receiving mail. Okay? And wish I would have gotten this, I don't know why, but this particular slide didn't come out very well. But the idea is that in mail, let's say the contact cost is $1. This says $1. This is Google down here. And this is mail. And I apologize. This only turned this color now that I'm presenting it. And a couple of years ago, Adweek had an article about, you know, cost per click, and it was about $5. But the bounce rate was 50%, according to Google. And if you have a landing page, it's 80%. So the actual cost per contact with Google AdWords is about $10 per click. And after that, you get about the 1% or 2% of those clicks, once they get to your site, will buy. Okay? Now, what's the percentage of people that look at and engage with your mail? Probably more like 85%. In which case, your cost, $1.20, is way less. So your cost of a customer actually engaging with your products is $1.50 with mail, whereas it's about $25 with your digital. Something to think about, right? So mail delivers the foundation of customer persuasion. It cuts through ad clutter. It connects with your brain better than digital, better than outdoor, better than anything. It gives you the maximum customer knowledge. Clear testing with clear offers lets the customer tell us what they want. That's again, we let the market tell us what we should be doing better. Okay? And what the DM pioneers knew is that if you do not verify mail, it looks just expensive and difficult. And that's what the clients of USPS, when we did our testing, when they tried mail, that's what they said. But direct mail can be the foundation, not merely integration of omnichannel marketing mix. The foundation, it should be the place we start. So this is just from a week ago where I'm working with a medical provider. We did 130,000-piece test, and we compared the new people becoming members, and we had 144%, I think I got the digit wrong there. We got 144% incremental lift. So all things being equal, we had equal digital in the market, equal social, equal out of home, equal event exposure. We were doing all these things in the marketplace. And we compared the members who got mail, which was only about 30%, 20, 30% of the market, and it was more than double those that became members. More than double of them had gotten the mail. Okay? And I'm not going to tell you the details of that. Nordstrom's, you know, case study from a couple of years ago, Eric Nordstrom says results were hurt by stopping the use of direct mail. You know, they stopped it in all stores. They could have just stopped it in two stores and seen the results. But the retailers, again, they companies don't understand any of the principles of direct marketing. One of my books on my shelf says direct marketing is the best idea that's been welcomed but never actually attempted. Direct marketing seminars used to be full up. You couldn't, you know, the DMA show was 20,000 people, and Ed Burnett's class was always full with hundreds of people. The first time I went to one, it was hundreds of people. But nobody actually executed. No. So J. Jill, Linda Heasley said, we planned some shift from direct mail to alternative media options, primarily digital. In hindsight, we moved too much too soon. She's gone. Right. So here's a 3-year study that I was part of. It was a retailer with 80 stores. And just prior to COVID, social media, mature website, online shopping, high ticket merchandise. It was not what I'd call a good mail candidate. It was one of the worst possible mail applications, a complex sale, long product life, low number of customers. A consultant, though, came in and said, you should have a catalog. It wasn't me, somebody else. So they already built a catalog, and I got hired to fix it. As always, right? They had terrible results. They said, we're not even going to show you the results. We got no results, zero results. And then they hired a VP of marketing, or a CMO, I think, and Patrick. And he came from packaged goods company, very famous packaged goods company. And he called me up and he said, you know, we compete really well with Wayfair and Williams-Sonoma. Why should we? And once people understand what we sell, but we're mailing the catalog to existing customers who already understand what we sell. Why shouldn't we take that money and invest it in media to non-customers so that they can learn what we do? And I said, Patrick, that's one of the best questions anyone's ever asked me. Honestly, it is. Would you like to know the answer? And he said, how can you know the answer? And I said, well, what we'll do is instead of mailing 150,000 catalogs, we'll mail 120,000. We'll have 30,000, just like the musician's friend example I gave. We'll have 30,000 that we're not mailing. And then we'll look and see how they do in the next month or two. And, you know, we know who they are because we have the mailing list. We know who we left out. And we can compare what they buy, you know, because we have their credit card information and we can track, you know, their customer ID. Well, it turned out that every dollar we spent mailing a catalog generated $3 of bottom line EBITDA profit. Okay, not $3 more revenue. That wouldn't be anything. But $3 for it. You put a dollar in the box, $3 jump out. Okay. So, whoa. Maybe we should keep doing that. And then, because we were running the match back ourselves, that's what we do. We can compare the names who bought with the names we mailed, you see, and the names we didn't mail. We actually know we have an actual list of non-mailed people. And we can see how they did. And while we were doing that match back analysis, we found a lot of next door neighbors. So I said, Patrick, could we test those? And he said, sure. Do it both ways. We found a 900% EBITDA ROI. So for every dollar we put in the box, 9 jumped out. And there were two new customers for every one old customer. So what was happening, we think, you know, we didn't really get the chance to nail this down. But they're still mailing catalogs today. What we think was that people would come over for a cocktail or something, and they would see the furniture, and they would say, hey, this is nice. This is unique. How'd you get it up here? Because they could even take big couches up, take them apart, and put them back up on long stairways and stuff where you never could get it up there. And say, oh, I got this catalog here. Check it out. And that is the way you drive real huge response. Pass along is way better than renting mailing lists or cold calling or whatever else you're going to do. And so anyway, here's a, and this is what they said. Sales went up dramatically. Huge pass along. And here's a graph from 2013. We got involved 2014, 15, 16, and 17. They went public. There you go. Amazing power. What they did was, first, we showed them how mail drove profit, drove revenue. Then we showed them that you could test other things. We found an offer that did, there were four main offers they were using. We found one that did more than the other three put together. They put that into their television and their mass media and their social media and their digital, and they poured gas on it. I can't take credit for this. All I can take credit for was showing them that mail gave them the insights to actually leverage and pour gasoline on, and that drove them to double their sales. So they were about 50 million down here, and they were 100 million up there in 3 years. And they were around for 20-some years. It wasn't a new company. Okay, so what time is it? It's the golden age. Why mail fixes USPS? Well, mail demands engagement. No other medium does that. Mail solves attribution and AI problems. Any company that wants to figure out AI should be doing mail. Long and short of it. I don't care if they mail millions of catalogs. They got to mail some. Whatever, they got to mail something, but we can work with it. We can get them there, okay? There's greater variable demand with mail. You know, people are going to ship so many packages, people are going to write so many letters. But with mail, you can scale, and that gets USPS more revenue, okay? And I have a plan for how to do that with USPS. It actually got approved. I got a contract to build it. But, you know, then the administration changed. So hopefully with this next administration, maybe this message will get out. Canada does a great job, okay? Canada Post has regular examples of what is going on that's working. Now, are they as good a test as the case studies I just mentioned? Probably not, because most people don't know how to do that. But it's a step in the right direction. It's a step that can show the CEO and the CFO that this is accountable advertising in a way that your agency may not do and they may not even like. And that's why we need a special attribution lab in conjunction with USPS to teach these skills that are fast disappearing in this world. Most of my friends, most of my mentors are gone. If not dead, at least retired. Time's running out. The clock is ticking. We have a chance to save USPS. Why mail? It'll save USPS. It's mail, but so much more. Thanks for watching. I hope you'll like and share. And I hope you'll come visit on Tuesday. And you can fight with me about it if you want. Have a great day. Bye-bye.